Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rick Bucher covers the NBA, and he is heard on and seen on Fox Sports 1. He is a senior writer for the Bleacher Report, and he is our Radio.com Sports NBA insider. Mr. Rick Bucher joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, thank
great.
You.
We really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
No
So let's obviously this is the off season we've all been waiting for since last off season. That's what the NBA is all about now, is these off seasons. In your mind, how do the Durant and Thompson injuries affect the off season in the sense, look, they're still going to get paid and maybe Klay will go back to Golden State, but there are teams out there like the Lakers, the Celtics, who aren't willing to wait around a year for a guy who's not going to play for an entire year. So does it change how teams approach free agency in your mind? The two of the biggest pieces are probably not going to play much at all next season.
Yeah, I don't know that Klay Thompson was ever legitimately in play anyplace else. The connection between him and the Warriors and their desire to do right by him and his desire to stay, it was never realistic that he was going to go anyplace else. So I don't know that his injury changes anything as far as he is concerned. And I think teams knew that he wasn't really on the market. I don't know that anybody planned on acquiring him. KD's a different story. I still expect that he's going to go someplace else, but the market for the teams or the market for him has probably been reduced to the teams that aren't trying to win right now. So the Clippers, for example, don't know that he's on their list. Philadelphia, if he was ever on their list, and I know at the beginning of the year he was, they're in go mode. Big question is are the Brooklyn Nets, do they see it that way? Because they're facing the challenge of they want to get two stars, and they don't want necessarily Kyrie to be the only star or the best player on their team, because they saw how that worked in Boston. So I know the Knicks, for example, when it comes to KD and where they are in their timeline, they would happily sign him to a max deal, look at the first year as a redshirt year, mm-hmm. and away we go a year from now. We get a chance to build and develop our younger players, and then we've got KD. So there's still going to be opportunity. There's still going to be places for him to go. But maybe just not as many because of the timeline.
You mentioned Kyrie. Has he just turned into a whack job where nobody wants him?
No, I don't. I don't know that it's that nobody wants him. And I'm actually exploring something right now because I heard that there was a real beef between him and Danny Ainge earlier in the year, and that may have set the course for all of this. And so his pulling away from the Celtics is not out of the blue and it's not unexplained. You may not agree with what he's done and how he's done it, but I believe at the heart of this is a spat, if you will, certainly an argument, a disagreement with Danny Ainge and some things that were said in that really changed Kyrie's view of being or staying with the Boston Celtics long term, and that's what's driving this. In terms of where he wants to go, I know that being originally from New Jersey, that the Brooklyn, New York area has always been an appeal to him, and I believe that's ultimately where he's going to end up. So there's a little more explanation to what is going on with Kyrie than has been advertised. And it's why, unfortunately, or as we know, as we've seen with Kyrie, like he can look like it. We went through the whole, the earth is flat thing. Like Kyrie doesn't mind being seen as a whack job. So he could save himself some trouble if he was willing to go out there and be clear on what is motivating him. As of right now, he's not.
Is there more stuff bubbling underneath the surface in Boston than maybe the average person is aware of? Because a year ago, They got to the East Finals. They got to Game 7 without Kyrie, without Hayward. And we just figured, yeah. Oh, well, my gosh, they're going to be loaded next year. They're going to run away with the East. And now Horford opts out, Kyrie opts out. Is there a lot more going on there?
Well, actually, I feel as if there's more going on with teams that maybe we sometimes take into account. We look at the names, we look at the numbers, we look at the success, and I did the same thing. I expected the Celtics to win it all this year. I looked at their roster, I looked at their experience from last year, and I thought the one thing they were missing was a proven closer. Well, what is Kyrie Irving with playoff experience? What a perfect combination. And Brad Stevens, because of his relationship with Gordon Hayward and his relationship with the players on that team, he's going to be able to make that work. It's an intrusion to put those guys into the rotation, but they'll make it work. And I believe that what we didn't take into account is the importance of chemistry. It's what had made the Warriors so special. I would say in some respects, it's what, you know, Blake Griffin coming into the Pistons and cultivating relationship with Reggie and Andre, and allowed that team that on paper was an okay team, not a great team, but to fight its way into the playoffs. I what they had a year ago is that they were completely discounted, and they had a bunch of young guys who wanted to prove, hey, we're better than you think we are. We can still compete. And that was a driving force and an element that brought them together. When you are the underdog and nobody's counting on you, that's a completely different position than when you are the hunted. And that's what they were last year. They were supposed to come in. There were no expectations the year before. It was, oh, it's too bad. They've lost two of their best guys. And then they surpassed expectations. They weren't on anybody's radar, and they weren't under any pressure to succeed. This year was completely different. They were supposed to be the best team in the East. They were supposed to take the league by storm. And when that doesn't happen, then their guys begin to look around the locker room and say, oh, okay, what's different? Oh, that guy's different. Oh, my role's different. And that can tear a team apart. And that's exactly what it did. And I think we also, you know, we might have anointed Brad Stevens as one of the greatest coaches of all time, maybe just a little premature.
Just a little. Rick Bucher, our NBA insider from radio.com, joins us here on the Jamie and Stoney Show. You brought up the Pistons. Pistons seem to be in that awful area where they're not bad enough to get a great lottery pick. They're not good enough to do anything.
Yeah.
What's the perception? How can they get out of this? And like a lot of us don't have a high, I don't know, feeling about Andre Drummond. What's his perception around the league? Because the numbers are there, but they're hollow. He's got the contract. The Pistons are basically just stuck in the mud, and you have an owner that just loves Andre Drummond.
Yeah, it's, you know, the tricky part is I've seen Andre grow and develop, and I thought the fact that he made way for Blake this past year was an important element. The difficulty that he and that the Pistons are up against is that he's an old school center in many ways, and it's just not the way the game's being played. You can make it work, but then you have to have the ideal pieces around it. You have to have floor spacers. You know, Blake can be the four next to Andre Drummond's five, but only because he's expanded his range to three-point range, and he can operate from the top of the key. So there is a way to make it work, but you need a lot of shooters around Andre, and then you need Andre to realize these are the things that we need you to do. Don't try to play up to your contract. You may not have to do as much as you think you have to do offensively, and you may have to do a little bit more defensively. And look, that when a guy gets used to one role, or he's been introduced to one role and he's making a certain amount of money, and then you go, hey, we just need this from you. I watched the whole thing with the Warriors this year with DeMarcus Cousins, the push and pull of, hey, we need you to be aggressive in these ways, but we don't need you to think that you are the guy who stirs the drink in these other ways. And the thing that I give Andre credit for is that he seems willing to make that shift. It may be slow, and it still may be a challenge.
They need him to be like Ben Wallace was and just worry about the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That's easy for us to say, but when you're making a ton of money and you've had the freedom, it's sometimes hard to get that horse back in the barn. And we'll see ultimately if they can do it.
Rick, last thing, obviously we know how the top three in the draft are going to go. I'm not going to sit here and say who are the Pistons going to take at 15, but are there any names of guys mid-first round who you think have a chance to maybe surprise?
Well, I think if Tyler Hero was there, I don't know if he's going to be there. Right now, I think he's late teens, 20s. He, to me, seems like a perfect piece. He may be the best shooter in the draft, and if he were there, I would imagine that the Pistons would snap him up. I don't know if he's been attached to the Pistons to this point in the mock drafts in your area, but that's a guy that I would look at. The problem right now is that with the deal with AD, the fourth pick is very much available, and not knowing who's going to be running the Wizards long term. The ninth pick is available, and the Hawks are looking to move the 10th pick. So you got three pretty significant picks before you get to the Pistons that could shift who is going to be there, and that's what makes this makes the draft going into the draft at this point a little liquid. Above and beyond the fact that after you get past the first three, it really is eye of the beholder or what is your biggest need?
Yeah. Hey, Rick, thanks so much for the time, especially early on the West Coast. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, thanks. There he is, Rick Bucher, our radio.com sports NBA insider here on 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.